Let's get now to Laura Davison, Bloomberg Wealth Reporter, joining us from Washington, D.C. She wrote a piece titled Sam Bankman-Fried's Red Flags Were Seen in All Corners of the Empire. Before we get to those, Laura, just curious to get your thoughts on what we heard from Sam Bankman-Fried speaking virtually at the New York Times Deal Book Summit, because he did admit to many mistakes, but he's denied here trying to perpetrate any kind of fraud.
Yeah, it was a really incredible interview, almost an hour long, and really he was quite contrite and sort of had this air that he's had on Twitter that we now saw him, you know, in the flesh on this video feed, talk about how he was sorry and how he made mistakes, but also that he said that he didn't know a lot of these things that were happening. And so that's really going to be the questions that regulators are going to be asking, that congressional committees are going to be asking, and, you know, potentially the DOJ might be asking, is he liable and responsible for some of these things that happened?
So you share a byline, Laura, with Sophie Alexander on a piece that's being featured on The Terminal. Sam Bankman-Fried's red flags were seen in all corners of Empire. And you highlight two nonprofits in particular. What do you think they picked up on?
So it's not clear. They didn't say exactly why they declined to take some of these grants from the FTX philanthropy wing, but they clearly picked up on something. And this has really been really kind of a parallel story to what we saw happen at FTX, what we saw happen at the FTX Future Fund, which was their foundation, in that, you know, records were not so clean. There were entities who weren't expecting money who got money, or entities who were expecting a certain amount and got more. But there were also people who were expecting some grants that just never got fulfilled, about 90 million or so that just, you know, they had said, hey, we're coming through with this money, never got paid out. But really, the real thing here that's probably going to be the most focused on going forward in the bankruptcy case is there were, people who received millions of dollars, several entities received millions of dollars from entities that were listed in the bankruptcy. And that means that some of those funds could be clawed back. And some of these are bigger nonprofits that might be able to afford to do so. But a lot of these people are, individual researchers, PhD students, college students that, were given $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. They may not have that money, if creditors come to recoup it.
I like a piece that you quoted a partner at Withers saying that, if some of these big companies like Tiger Global Management, Sequoia Capital were backing the exchange, why would some of these smaller nonprofits and academics do due diligence? Because basically they can't, but they should have also, I guess, had faith that what was happening here was all above board.
Yeah, and that's really, sort of what is incredible about some of these, organizations. They, apply for grants or they receive grants, and they do have teams that, are relatively small compared to, what would be a due diligence team, at a hedge fund. But said, hey, we see some red flags here. We're just not going to associate ourselves, with this organization, which is really, not typical in the nonprofit world. If someone comes and say, hey, we want to give you, several million dollars. Most nonprofits, are not looking for a reason to say no. They're looking for a reason to say yes.
So what do we know about the way in which regulators are going to step in and kind of prosecute this case?
So we don't know for sure exactly how this is going to play out. But there's a couple things in the next couple of weeks that are going to be really crucial to watch here. One is there's several different congressional committees that want to have hearings about the collapse of FTX. We've got one scheduled for December 13th in the House. Sam Bankman-Fried tonight in his interview with the New York Times said he wants to cooperate in these. We'll see if he actually comes back on New York or on U.S. soil to do this. He's still in the Bahamas. That does open him up to, some potential liability. If he has criminal liability, you could see, this could have some exposure for him. There's a lot happening and a lot that regulators and different enforcement agencies are being quiet about right now. But as this case builds and, frankly, he's been talking a lot, more so than would be expected in a situation like he's in. So more is likely to come, and very quickly.
And what sort of further crypto contagion are we expecting to see here too?
I mean, so this is really kind of the question we saw, Larry Fink and others say today that, this is really not the end of this. We've seen other firms, BlockFi, example, file for bankruptcy. Just FTX had tentacles in wide and far in crypto world, and just there's been a real loss in confidence in crypto, as well as, sort of the loss of valuations across the board. This is not over yet.
What about regulation? Do we have a sense that there's going to be much, much more strict regulation in this space?
This has really been a kind of an interesting point is, you know, you would think kind of the natural reaction is after sort of there's a big calamitous event that you would have people saying, yes, we need to regulate. Congress has been slow on this. Part of that is the Congress doesn't really understand how crypto works and that they're a little bit slow to react. We're starting to see more of that today. The chair of the Banking Committee and the Senate Banking Committee sent a letter to Yellen saying, hey, we need to work on this together. We need to get up to speed on this. But it's going to take some time, months, if not years.
Yeah, indeed. Great reporting. Thank you, Laura. Laura Davison, Bloomberg Wealth Reporter, joining us from Washington, D.C. A great piece on the Terminal 2. Sam Bankman-Fried's red flags were seen in all corners of Empire.